Busting the Binary is the name of this service, and often the binary is invisible. I was at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory recently for their 40th anniversary celebration, and on a tour we got to see the supercomputer, which takes up a huge room, and I was reminded of how much our lives run on the binary, on, off, zeros, ones, the base two numbering system. That binary underlies every scrap of computing, and I'm guessing we have enough computing power in this room just in our smartphones to power the space station, the International Space Station. So the binary, on, off, zero or one. It's how so many of us have thought about gender as well, male, female. So simple. But we know it is not so simple. That beautiful song we just sang, we are, it is so binary.
What, you've got a problem with the song, Ruth?
Yes, and that's the same look you gave me, Mark, when we were working on this service together, because you didn't recognize the binary in that song. It is so gendered, and yet it was invisible to you. So gendered that I'm uncomfortable with it for two reasons. First, for who is left out? Yes, the trans non-binary person is left out when only male and female roles are included. So in this song, we have grandmothers, mothers, sisters, and daughters, as well as grandfathers, fathers, brothers, and sons. That's mainly our experience, isn't it? What about the two-spirited? What about the intersex? About one in 1,800 babies are born with atypical genitalia, and many, many, many more are born with more subtle atypical hormones and chromosomes. The second reason is for the invisibility of it, the invisibility of the gender binary, how hidden it is throughout our lives that we don't even know how we are constrained by it. And it starts so early. I was a chaplain at St. Anthony North Hospital, and one of the beautiful things that we chaplains got to do was baby blessings for the newborn families, the families of the newborns. And get this, the certificates were pink and blue. And I wouldn't do it. I could not do it. I could not participate in that level of binary training for a newborn. So get me some cream-colored paper. I made my own certificates. We know what happens. We know we all lead diminished lives because of the gender binary. How, now this is stereotypical, I know, but we do still live in a very gendered world. How boys and men are too often denied access to a rich emotional life. How men are burdened with the responsibility of providing financial responsibility. How women's bodies are objectified and violated and mindlessly adorned.
Moi?
Do you want to do this part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there it is.
So I don't mean to be holier than thou, or to all of thee, but I feel that my experience having come in to my gayness, I sort of like coming in rather than coming out, gave me an opening to be more vulnerable and receptive to my feelings and to expressing them. Yes, I was basically raised as a normatively cisgender, determinedly heterosexual, traditionally male-presenting boy, except that as an identical twin, I had to think about how much I wanted to look like Eric. So I had a little bit of early schooling in varying my gender expression. But coming out, coming in, leaving the darkness, leaving the death of the closet, brought me closer to compassion to those in similarly oppressed situations and to my own feelings.
Thank you for that. And it's probably not news to any of us here that patriarchy and misogyny play out even in Unitarian Universalist lives and families and congregations, including this one, in the same way that white supremacy culture plays out in our lives and our families and congregations, including this one. We can't help it. It's the water we're swimming in. Part of why it was so delicious to invite you all to play with your gendered expression is because the most severe consequences of rigid gender norms is violence to individual lives. It's very heavy. And I've come to believe, as I quoted Judith Butler in our Weekly Connections email newsletter, that, one, gender is not a fixed binary set at birth. It's a continuum and may or may not correspond to your biological sex. Two, gender is not something you are, it's something you do. Gender is performative. And finally, three, the habitual way we perform gender, in turn, creates expectations and sets and resets norms around gender. To put it another way, gender is culturally and socially constructed. Now, in spite of the fact that Mark thinks that that quoted material is entirely too academic with too many big words, perhaps it helps us understand that our gender expression isn't who we are, it's a part of who we are. And it is our choice how we express who we are. I can be a woman and present more masculine. Mark is a man who is expressing more feminine today. It can be creative. Mark and I have had fun with this, and some of you had as well. And we've been challenged by it. And honestly, I'm pretty strong in my opinions about this, all the while wanting everyone the gentleness and grace and spaciousness to come to their own understanding, to come to your own understanding in your own time. But I'm with Sean Gill, who describes queer theory, the queer gospel we're preaching today, as that which seeks to dissolve all received conceptualizations of gender and sexuality. Dissolve them. This call to play with your gender expression was not meant to make fun, to make light of people who are trans or gender nonconforming, or with trans folk who are very comfortable having moved from one part of the binary continuum to the other part of the binary continuum and want to stay there. Thank you very much. But here is a safer place to express creatively with gender, whereas in that wider world, it is often too dangerous and violent and too often deadly.